Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I'm your host, psychic astrologer C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to Simple Tales on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world and specifically how you perceive the world through the lens of astrology and tarot and psychic phenomena. If you're listening live today, this is February 26th, 2019. And on today's show, I am very happy to welcome one of the newest members of the 1-2 Listen Advisor Group, Sydney Sable. Now, many of you already know Sydney. In fact, she's been doing guest shots on radio. I don't even know how long. We're going to have to ask her how long she's been doing that for. But for quite a while now, you've heard her, I think, on multiple shows. And she is an astrologer and an intuitive counselor, a psychic, has many, many, many wonderful gifts. And I'm going to talk about her a lot as the show goes on. But before we do that, you know, there's a couple of things I always like to take care of, including inviting you to join us over on Facebook, where we have a private group that we use during our live shows here on 1-2 Radio. And if you're new to this phenomena of 1-2 Radio and you go, what is she talking about? Go over to our actual webpage. Go to 1-2radio.com. And if you go to our website, you'll see on the left side of the page, there is a link that says chat. When you click that link, you will be redirected over to Facebook, where under the banner that says Simple Tales, you can start making your comments or questions. And I know we were having just a few little technical things today, so hopefully that banner is up or at least is going up as I'm speaking, so that you can find that and you can go ahead and start posting. Because in fact, Sydney probably will be answering some of your questions or responding to some things in the chat room today. So I would invite you to go over there if you'd like to participate with us in that way. So while we're getting that banner up and taking care of a few things, why don't I go ahead and just talk a little bit about the cosmic dance for this week? And I think what I'm talking about, of course, just plays so well into what Mark Hussin was talking about, because, of course, we're both astrologers. But I was listening with a lot of interest to his talking about Capricorn and Sagittarius, but specifically Capricorn. And in fact, Sydney is a Capricorn. So I think she is a perfect guest for today. And I think I need to go back and look at that chart, but I think she might have as many as 5 planets in Capricorn. So she is a great poster child or demo for the Capricorn energy. But also, a couple of the things that I want to go with here are that why do we care about where those planets are right now? Like, for instance, you may say, well, I know my own chart and, you know, Mark is always asking me to put those planets in my chart. Why do I care? Well, the reason we care is think about it this way. Let's say that you are a sailor. You love to sail. You know, you have your own sailboat, or maybe your friends have sailboats and you love to sail. Well, that's who you are. That's your preference. That's what you like to do. But, you know, as you look out on any given day, you're going to look at the conditions of the ocean. You're going to look at the conditions of the lake. What's going on with the wind? Because some of the days are going to be much, much better. You're going to have a better time. Depending on your preferences, there again, maybe you like those really strong windy days, or maybe you like those really calm days. But the point is, you're still a sailor, but it's going to be different sailing on different days, depending on what's going on. And in this case, I'm calling it the cosmic winds, right? So as we look at all those things that are going on, as we look at like the phenomena that I really want to make sure you realize is that Venus is active this week. She's doing some stuff that we need to pay attention to. So those are the prevailing winds of this week. That's why we care about that. Now, it never negates what's going on with a natal chart. And in fact, I know somebody had asked Mark, I think in the chat room, something about a progress chart, something about a progress Mercury. Now, that is an advanced technique in astrology, and we do use it. I use it a lot. When I read for somebody, I always at least glimpse. I want to see what's going on in a progress chart because it's another indication of prevailing winds. You know, what's going on? What is the overall? Maybe you might see that as, is it night or is it day? You know, it's not just the wind conditions, but what are we really looking at in the background? So those progressions are important, but they're never probably as important as your basic chart. Who are you? You know, what are the energies that you came into this particular incarnation to use? You know, do you have a lot of Aries energy? Do you have Aquarius? Or like our guest Sydney, do you have a lot of Capricorn? So that tells us some real basics. But as we look at what's going on at the cosmic dance, we can predict the weather. We can look at those cosmic winds. Some of us look at those winds and we go, hey, I think it's a good day to stay home and read a book. Or maybe it's a good day to stay home and make a pot of chili. Or maybe it's a day to call all my friends and go socialize. You know, we have different ways that we adapt. So, you know, I've always marveled at the fact, especially living in Colorado, that when it snows, there's a lot of people who are just thrilled. You know, those are the skiers. Those are the people who love to get out and maybe do some, you know, cross-country skiing or downhill skiing or ice skating or whatever it is. Other people are grouches because all it really means is scooping all that snow off of the sidewalks. So it's the same phenomena. It's snow. But how we interpret it is very different based on what our preferences are. And that's how all of life is. Do you realize that? Everything is neutral. But whether or not we like it is really dependent upon our personal interpretation, our perception of what it means in our lives. So with Venus, what I wanted to point out to you is yesterday, Venus is at the very, very, very end of Capricorn. So she is sitting there and she actually went over the south node of the moon. Now, the south node of the moon is actually a mathematical equation. It's nothing physical. It's a mathematical calculation. But in astrology, we use it because it symbolizes, I always think of it as a bucket. And it's a bucket oftentimes of stuff that we just as soon, you know, throw out. It needs to be composted. It tends to be the stuff that maybe we came in with from a past life. Or maybe it's just where we've got leftovers from childhood. I call it also the kind of running home to mama. Because when we get scared, when we get worried, when we get anxious, what do? We go back to habitual patterns. And you know what? That's okay. Those things make us feel comfortable. But I also really believe, astrologically speaking, that our soul intends for us to go away from the south node, away from those habitual behaviors, and towards stretching ourselves towards the north node. So when Venus goes over the south node, I think she's kind of going through there going, hey, it's time to clean up. It's time to clean out the closets. In fact, remember also, she's kind of a fashionista, right? She has to do with our tastes, what we're attracted to, how we make ourselves attractive. So what is she doing? She's kind of looking around and going, this needs to be updated. This needs to be revised. Let's get rid of this. And I think this phenomena really carries through the week and actually through the next few weeks, because that Venus at the end of Aquarius, at the end of Capricorn, is moving into Aquarius. She's going to do that on Friday. And it's also kind of funny to me as an astrologer, because right before she moves into Aquarius, which is ruled by rebellious, revolutionary Uranus, what does she do? She conflicts with Uranus because he's sitting at the very, very, very end of Aries. And Capricorn and Aries are square energy. They're strong, they're cardinal, they're initiating signs. So I see Venus kind of scooting out of, Capricorn and just kind of does this. I'm not sure if she's waving to Uranus or if she's flipping him off. But the point is, then she goes right into the sign, into Aquarius, which is what Uranus rules. So what I really think she's doing is she's kind of taking a stand. And what I think in our hearts or in our minds or kind of in our experience this week, we may have that phenomena of people or ourselves going, you're not the boss of me, because we're trying to break free of limitations. Maybe we're trying to break free of some of those habitual patterns of the south node, but I think just in general, we're going, give me freedom. You know, that's what Aquarius is about. And so as she goes into Aquarius, once again, I want you to kind of think about this, because all of us can go, oh, well, you know, I've got all this Taurus energy or Cancer or this sweet Pisces energy. And, you know, I love my relationship to be this way. You know, we're joined at the hip, or, you know, we're just so together. Well, guess what? Aquarius is a different kind of energy. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to completely revise or change all those relationships. But I think the quote that, or the sentiment that so talks about how Aquarius looks at love and relationships is the one from the author of The Little Prince when he said, love consists not in looking at each other, but in looking outward in the same direction. So think about that. I want to be with that person who is of like mind. Aquarius is a mental and a fixed sign. I want somebody who gets me. I want somebody who understands what I'm thinking. I want to communicate with somebody. I want to share thoughts and ideas. I want to share my world view. And quite truthfully, this is so much more important than even the physical side of the relationship, oftentimes to Aquarius. So think about that. You know, your relationships may undergo some changes, or you might find yourself attracted to something different than before. And another example, when I think of Venus in Aquarius, I always think of Simone de Beauvoir. I didn't say her name very well. De Beauvoir? Anyway, you know who she was? She was an author, kind of a philosopher, you know, a poet. But she was involved with another philosopher for most of her life and never married him. I mean, she was famous for kind of her, you might even call it women's liberation, you know, just being an independent person standing on her own 2 feet. We also see that other people with Venus in Aquarius, Gertrude Stein, Aretha Franklin, Elton John, Oprah Winfrey, and also Yoko Ono. You know, now that's just a few of the people that have that energy. But this is about being an independent person, but also very much sharing your life with another person because you find somebody who gets you. That's the other thing you might find in your relationships too. Let's say you're with somebody and you feel like you're never on the same page. You know, they don't get you. Well, that may be a really hard thing to deal with while Venus is in Aquarius because you want people to get you. You want them to understand you. So just kind of put that out there. Recognize that that's what's going to be going on for the next few weeks. One more thing, and that is Mercury is going to go retrograde next week. On Tuesday, in fact. And so I want you to pay attention to that because this week and even last week, we're going to revisit whatever's going on these weeks. We're revisiting it when Mercury goes retrograde. So just kind of put that in your little pocket or in your mind and think about that a little bit. Okay, now I really would love to welcome Sydney onto the show. And Sydney, thank you so much for being with me today.
Of course. Hi, yes. Everyone.
And like I said, I know many of you know Sydney. She does astrology. She's an intuitive counselor. She's a psychic. And I want to, you know, at the risk of maybe saying too much about Sydney or self-disclosure, many of you know that Mark Hessen and I kind of collectively do a lot of screening for people who apply for One to Listen. And Mark has very high standards for onetolisten.com, which is the psychic, you know, hotline. And we really do. We kind of put people through the gauntlet, not because we want to be mean, but because we really do want very credible, the best psychics in the world is what we want on that site. And so Sydney had applied about a year ago, and Mark and I decided we are such astrological snobs, Sydney, because we kind of look at Sydney and go, well, she hasn't been through a Saturn return. We're not sure. You know, that's one of our criteria. We don't always keep it, but it's like we need people who've gone through that. We need people who have, you know, have matured to that level. And so we kind of put Sydney off. But the truth is, Sydney has all those Capricorn planets and she was going to persevere. She does have her own private practice. She is so accomplished in multiple areas. In fact, she blows me away with some of the, you know, things that she has done. She represents, you know, several different groups. She's had some things published and her writing is just phenomenal. And in fact, I will admit, I've been an editor for some of the things that she has written and I'm just blown away. I mean, I'm just like, oh, my God, did she just come into this incarnation as an excellent writer? And she does have a Gemini moon. So my guess is, yes, she did. But the other thing, and this is self-disclosure. So here are Mark and I going, you know, we just need to make sure she's mature enough, you know, and whatever. So she contacted us a year later, which was just recently, and said, hey, guys, I want you to reconsider me. And so Mark and I talked it over, and we said, you know what, let's just throw her into the testing situation, because that's what we do. All of the people that come on to One to Listen, they actually have to be, they do a number of test readings before we let them onto the site. So we said, yep, let's just throw her out there and see what happens. And she blew the testers away. You know, I mean, just literally blew them away. And so we're like, okay, you know, we have to just go with this flow. And so here is Sydney, you know, on the line and really is just doing a fabulous job. And once again, Sydney, I have heard you do a number of readings on the air. And I have to admit, there have been several times when I've heard you say things that I feel like have to be totally channeled. And the reason I say that is because you're talking about something or describing something that, in maybe my limited view, you can't possibly be old enough to know that. You know, I mean, that's, I'm like, she can't possibly be old enough to understand that, you know? And looking back on my life, it's like, it takes a long time to figure out some of this stuff. And I'm like, how does she have all this figured out? I mean, I just think it's funny and it's amazing. But I figure, you know, you are just wise beyond your years. And astrologically speaking, I think that has a lot to do with the Capricorn in your chart. Because, you know, it's said that Capricorns live backwards. Did you know that? Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you're a good example of that. That you have this wisdom that it's like, where could you have possibly gotten that? You didn't get it in this lifetime, or you had to have brought it in somehow. And just so people know, she's got Jupiter, the Sun, Neptune, Mars, Uranus, all sitting in Capricorn. And many of those planets are also sitting in the fifth house of creativity, self-expression. So, you know, I think we do expect great things from you, Sydney, in your, and by the way, often the fifth house is the house of fame. And so it doesn't surprise me. She's got five planets sitting in there, guys, and a couple of them are in Aquarius. So I think there's just no doubt she didn't come to have this small little life. She's packing everything into every minute of her life. I mean, it really is phenomenal what she has accomplished in her years. But I see all that Capricorn and I go, that's got to be it. You know, and by the way, not that I'm not giving you credit. You know, I think you kind of fight for everything you get, including like with us trying to get onto One to Listen. But you just really are wise beyond your years. And so what I want you to start sharing, and I know there's probably many things that you do want to talk about today, but I want you to just kind of share with people like that wisdom beyond your years. Did you always feel that way? I mean, how did you kind of come into your own psychic gifts? Or, you know, even describe your childhood. What was your childhood like? Or do you feel that you look around at your peers and you go, boy, I'm just like either smarter or wiser or more experienced than them?
It's so funny because you should see pictures of me as a baby. I look like a little old lady. My curly hair is cut short. And I literally look like a tiny little old human being. I never really got along with my peers. Honestly, up until just recently when I kind of hit my late teens, like 18, is when I kind of started learning how to socialize. It's not that I was never social. It's just that I wasn't really good at being a kid. Whenever I played, I played by myself. I didn't really like to play with other people. Recess was my least favorite thing to do in elementary school. I hated recess. Like, everyone was so excited to go on the playground and run around, and I'm like, ew, it's hot, it's sweaty, I don't have the energy. And I would just sit on a bench and just sit there and kind of like carve things into the tree or whatever. Like, I just didn't like it. I didn't have a lot of friends. It was really hard for me to establish friendships. And it's weird because I have that Gemini moon. I have Mercury and Venus in Aquarius. You would think, and I was a creative kid, but I kept it to myself. So my creativity would more so come out in my schoolwork, in my writing, and then when I was by myself. I was actually a very isolated child. However, I did have an outlet, which was theater. So when I was in like the second, third grade, my mom, my Gemini sun, Aries moon mother, picked me up from school one day and just dropped me off at an improv class. I had no idea what it was. She's like, oh, I signed you up for improv, without asking, without saying anything. I had no say. And she just dropped me off, and I loved it. I loved it so much. So theater, improv, acting, tap dancing, jazz, ballet, that was where I found my group of people, because they were all drama queens. They were all mature beyond their years. They were just my crowd, you know. But as I got a little older and, you know, more involved in my in life, kind of, because theater's a great escape, but it is kind of that. It's an escape of sorts. And I didn't have much time to establish a life for myself beyond that. So when I decided to kind of leave theater behind, of course, my mom was devastated. But it helped me come into the real world. I started to make friends at school. I started experimenting. I started having more of a normal, traditional life. So yeah, that's kind of my childhood. I was lonely at school, but then I had my theater where I could be creative. And then when I became a teenager, I kind of stopped theater and entered the real world. And that was when I kind of started to connect with my peers. But even now, I don't have a lot of friends. I can name all of my friends on one hand, you know. I think that's just how I am.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And it was just, I am looking at various versions of your chart as you're talking, because I always say people just talk their charts. So I'm just kind of looking and going, where is that? But, you know, one thing I want to say to you about friendship is that, and here, I'll if it's okay with you, I'm going to share a little bit about your chart. And in fact, this plays
Absolutely.
Into what Mark, it plays into what Mark was talking about too. Somebody had asked him, what if everything's on the right side of the chart? Well, that kind of brings us to, many of you know, a chart looks like a circle. It's a picture of the sky at the moment that you were born. And if you kind of see the Earth is in the very center, then it shows you where the constellations of the stars were and where all the planets were placed. Well, astrologically speaking, if we look at that, you get a visual right away. Like, are all those things spread out? Are they all lumped together? Well, in Sydney's chart, almost every single thing, only two things are above the horizon line. So it's all in the bottom of the chart. And those quadrants of the chart have to do with self-development versus being out in the world, putting yourself out there. So if you ask me, I'd say, yeah, you know what? This lifetime is a lot about you finding your personal voice, you finding your own personal expression. Once again, five important planets all lined up in the fifth house of self-expression. Coming into this lifetime and finding your voice. And when I say voice, I also go over to the third house, which is about communication, how we speak, what is our message. You've got Pluto, one of the most important planets to me when it comes to destiny, is sitting over in the third house. So you've spent a lot of time. When you say, well, I didn't really self-identify with all these people, you know, or I, it was hard for me to make friends. I think part of it is because you were in a cycle of self-development. And in some ways, you always will be. But by the way, that's where the progress chart comes in. Because in the progress chart, it shows development. And one of the things I did notice is it's only been very recent that Saturn, the planet that rules the career house, has moved in the progress chart, and it changed houses. And just so you know, because the progress chart moves so slowly, if you see a planet like Saturn, one of those slow-moving planets, actually progressing out of one house and into another, it's usually huge. Because in many of our charts, I mean, we will not ever see that happen. So for that Saturn to have moved, and it moved above the horizon, And so there again, that kind of said to me, you know, she is ready. She's blossoming. She's coming out. She's ready for that Saturn to be seen and to be used in her life. But I also look at it and I see, you know, where I was going with this is not having too many things above that horizon. But the one thing you do have up there is you have your moon. Your moon, your emotions, you know, what's important to you? How do you nurture yourself? How do you nurture other people? It's sitting in the 10th house of career. So that moon, despite all of that stuff being under the horizon, self-development, the moon says, I gotta do something in career. I've got to use my voice. That moon is in Gemini, speaking, connecting the dots, putting things together. That moon, in order for it to feel okay, it's got to have some light. It's got to shine. And it wasn't a full moon, but it was getting close to being a full moon when you were born.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. Like I said,
love
it was
that.
Yeah, it wasn't a full moon, but it was getting close to being a full moon. So, you know, being known for your writing, for your words, for your insight, for your ability to put ideas together, for your ability to kind of ferret out what's important, what's truth, and what's not. Those are some of the things you're doing. And how will you do it? You will do it in career, in conjunction with all of that really creative energy in your fifth. But the other thing I noticed, because you were talking about friends, if I look at that friendship house, it's the 11th house in a chart, and it is ruled by Cancer. And so once again, I go to your moon, because where's the moon? And the moon is in Gemini. So it just it doesn't say you're not going to have friends, but I can see in some ways that moon was kind of hanging out all by itself above the horizon. You know, think about it. And yet now things have changed. In fact, that's one thing. I mean, before we even came on the show, when I was looking at your chart, I saw that the north node of the moon now is in your friendship house. And I instantly thought, ooh, I bet you she's making new friends. I bet she is really like, this has been a period of she's sorting out who she wants in her life and who she doesn't. And she is naturally attracting. It's like it's your destiny somehow. You're attracting the right soul group, the family. And see, that probably is a big part of your coming on to one to listen. You're attracting a new family, redefining what family and friends look like to you. So I don't know if you feel like you have more friends now than you have, but I think that is something that's going on for you right now that's very strong.
Right. I definitely have a solid group of people that I'm now okay with. Like, I'm no longer like, oh, my social circle needs to look like this. I'm like, you know what? My social circle looks like this, and that's perfect. And I love it, you know?
Yes. Well, and you know, the other thing, and I'm trying to like roll this around in my mind too, because you've got a connection between your moon and your Neptune in your chart, but it's a difficult connection. Neptune has to do with psychic abilities. It has to do with, and it's sitting in that fifth house of self-expression, and the moon is sitting up in career. So it almost makes me feel like this is something that your soul said to you, you will have to continually be what I call the editor, the monitor of how you want to use your psychic gifts, because that's going to be a place that I would say, I don't think you will ever get to a point in your profession or your psychic abilities that you just go, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and be comfortable. It's always going to be a place where you're trying to push the envelope. In other words, that's what it feels like to me. You're not going to be, been there, done that, or you're not going to get, what is the word? I just don't think you're going to get stuck or sedate or take it for granted. I don't think you're going to. You're going to always be pushing the envelope to be clearer, to be better, to be more on target. You know, that is going to be, you're going to be, I'm not going to say driven, but you're never going to be one of these people who just takes your gifts for granted. You know, let's put it that way, you know, that I don't have to work at this, or I just take it for granted. I'm smart. I'm brilliant. I'm psychic. You keep polishing. You keep finessing and getting better and better and better, because both of those planets working in tandem like that, I think that's what they're pushing for. They're never going to just sit, you know, resting on their laurels, so to speak. Which I think, whether you knew this consciously or not, is one of the reasons you are so incredibly psychic and so incredibly good at doing those readings and why you just blow people away, because you're not taking it for granted. You know, you're very, I'm not going to say you're a perfectionist, but it's certainly in there, isn't it?
100%. Yes. I have Virgo rising after all.
Sydney has a Virgo rising, but you also have Mercury, which rules that rising. You've got it sitting in Aquarius. And as we all know, Aquarius can be pretty opinionated and perfectionistic in their own way.
Very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know what? And, with all those planets sitting in Capricorn right now, specifically Saturn and Pluto, Sydney will continue. She has already been going through major transformations in her life for probably your whole life. But, you know, five or six years for sure. And that Saturn and Pluto will make her stronger and stronger and stronger and keep relaying foundations in her life that, I mean, like I said, I expect great, great things from you, especially in the next few years. It's just phenomenal, the kind of energy that's being activated in that fifth house of self-expression. You know, and if you wanted to go back to theater, you certainly could.
Thank you. Oh, just very talented. Right. When I found out that Pluto has been in Cap, this was probably like 2 years ago, when I found out Pluto has been in Cap for essentially forever now, and it's just going to stay there for I don't even know how long.
Until 2024, I think.
Yeah, my whole life started to make sense in that moment. I was like, oh my gosh, I was just born with this planet in my sign, and now I've been dealing with it my whole life. Like, I feel like I can't catch a break, you know?
Well, you know what? I would say don't see it that way. And actually, Pluto was in Sagittarius when you were born. And now it has moved over to, but you are so Capricorn. You're right. It's been sitting in your sign for a very, 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 very long time. And we'll stay there, like I said, until at least 2024, I think, is when it ends. I'd have to look that up. But it has been there for a very long time. And that Pluto is all about transformation. You know, it really is about breaking up old foundations and laying new ones. And so this is such a dynamic time for you, just an incredible time. But, you know, once again, I just want to stress all that wisdom that I see with all that Capricorn energy. You know, and that you have responded, you know, you have been a person, I know people don't know your whole history, but you have been a person who has responded to really life and death situations, to traumatic and or to situations that would have just taken most people off the planet. And you just always rise to the occasion. And that's Capricorn. You know, mm-hmm. that really is Capricorn just saying, you know, just try to knock me off, you know, just I'm planting my feet and, you know, I can do this. And that's the kind of indomitable spirit that you have and that I think that you bring to everything in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I keep talking, but of course I always get so excited about somebody's chart. But before we look at some of the things that are going on in the chat room and respond to that, I just want to ask, you know, as you were coming on the show today and as you think about, hey, this is one of my opportunities to use my voice, are there any things particularly that you say, I want to share this today? This is something I want to leave the audience with, either about yourself or about anything. I mean, is there anything like on your heart, on your mind right now?
Yeah, I guess there is. I'm not really good at planning. Well, I am, but not. I'm good at planning like day to day, like, oh, I'm going to go to the store, but I'm not good at planning words. Like, it's hard for me to just plan what I'm going to say because I never know how I'm going to feel in the moment. So this is my authentic response to that question. I think right now is a really transformative time for all of us, really. But I feel like for myself personally, I'm coming into this period in my life where I'm really starting to kind of think about what I want, who I am, what I stand for, definitely becoming more of a, in the best way possible, kind of like a backseat like just trying to enjoy sitting in the back seat instead of the front seat, you know, like you don't have to be so up and involved, and you don't always have to be the one driving the car, you know. Sometimes it's okay and rewarding and relaxing to sit in the back seat and just enjoy and watch. You know, I noticed that because I do have so much in CAP, I don't feel good about myself unless I'm working towards a goal.
And yes.
It's so cliche, but it's true. That is so me. And for me, one of my biggest goals is writing. It's a love-hate relationship because I love doing it, but I hate how much it controls me. It really does. Writing controls me so much. It has the power to just completely uplift me or decimate my mood, you know? And I'm trying really hard now in my life to just enjoy the day-to-day. And when I'm in the mood to write, I'll write. If I'm not, I won't do it. And I don't need to feel guilty about it. Like, you don't want to become so obsessed with your hobbies or your craft that it begins to control your life in a bad way. You know, you have to remind yourself that these are the things that bring you joy. And you kind of have to find that again sometimes by taking that backseat. And, you know, like, what can I say? Like, when you take a break from something, you know, mm-hmm. taking a break is good. And I forget that. And I'm always like, oh, I have to be doing something. I have to be doing this and that. And it's just not good for you. It's not good for your soul, for your body, for your mind, for your heart. Sometimes it's really important and it's okay to take what life is giving you in this moment in time and respecting that it is giving you this for a reason and not fighting it, not mm-hmm. pushing.
Well, go ahead.
Take from that what you will. That's just my rant for the day.
Well, you know, it's so synchronistic because of a couple things. One, in Tarot, if you associate the Tarot cards and the archetypes, specifically the major arcana, with astrology, did you know that Capricorn is the devil?
Yes, I actually have.
And the devil. Yeah, the devil has to do with addiction or with getting mm-hmm. so caught up. It's like I can't, you know, like you said, I'm in the driver's seat and I can't just relax. I can't get in the back seat. You know, writing has taken over my life. But this is what's funny. Many of you know that Sydney's mother is Psychic Cat. And Kat and I have been writing a book for several years, and it's about the Tarot. And so this week I've been really focusing on the devil. And in fact, it's so on my mind, I actually dreamed. I feel like I dreamt about the devil card all night long. And so it's so funny that now all of a sudden you're putting a voice to that. But one of the things about the devil card that I think is so important, or about this Capricorn energy, is that, you know, a lot of times, like with the Tarot, when the devil comes up, people automatically go, ah, you know, but I think that oftentimes the devil, the addiction in our lives, are things that are really good, or they're things that started out really good, or they're things that started out as really pleasurable. Like you said, I feel driven. I want to write. You are a writer. It's part of your identity. My message, what I came here to do, but it can become out of control. It becomes, like you said, you know, if you're not writing, then maybe you feel guilty, or somehow it's controlling my life. Well, mm-hmm. that's what the devil is about sometimes, is that those things that we have given them a place in our lives, they've gotten out of control. And so I think the devil kind of then shows up and goes, hey, you know, come on, dial it back a little bit or reevaluate this. But that devil always, in a sense, controls your life. Once you get a hold of something, you know, once a Capricorn makes up their mind that they want something, there is no holding them back. So literally, for you to try to get in the back seat or the passenger seat is pretty difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard.
But once again, it's like you're wise beyond your years to realize how those things are important. You want to have the foundation there to do it, but you also want to do it somewhat in moderation, or you don't want it controlling your life. You don't want to be the devil about it. You want to get it done without having it control your life. So the synchronicity of your message is incredible.
Yeah. It's like there's this vision of myself who I want to be, and then there's me, who I actually am in this moment. And I feel like I'm always kind of striving to be that person that I would feel really good being. And it's not that I don't feel good being myself, because I do. I have come a long way. But I think it's that Virgo rising perfectionism that Capricorn always pushing. I want to be able to say, it's like you want to be able to identify yourself in a certain way, because that aligns with the values that your mind has. My mind knows what is good for me and what, you know, I think should be the right way to live my life for me. But my body, my actions, my emotions don't always follow with that alignment, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's always about trying to align who I am right now with who I really want to be. And I think it's challenging, but I feel like every day, every week, I'm getting closer and closer to that and really proud of who I am now. And I'm sure it will be a never-ending, battle, not in a bad way. I think it's good to always be, to always be striving to be the best you can be, but just kind of accepting that I'm always going to be evolving and kind of getting closer and closer to, like, the root of my soul, you know?
Yes.
Who I am deep, deep, deep inside, beyond, beyond whatever.
Right, you know? Right. Well, and there again, your message is so timely for everybody, because there's so much Capricorn energy right now that, you know, we're all feeling that need to improve ourselves, to take charge, and yet not wanting to be so driven by it. And I think the thing that I would offer here, and I just can't help myself, but I feel like, and it really comes from A Course in Miracles, I think we do look at our lives, but the important key is to look at our lives. And like you say, let's say you see a disparity and you go, this is my image of who I want to be, and I'm not there. Well, the important thing is to just look at it and not judge it, because judging it is what holds us back. And so if we can just look at it, see the disparity, and almost even laugh at it, you know, just go, yeah, I want to be more like that. I want to move in that direction. That to me is the important thing, laying the new foundations, not spending our time in judging what we have or have not done in the past. That to me is useless, just useless energy. And so anyway, I would offer that. One more thing. I know, I'm sorry, I could read your chart forever, Sid. But one thing, the other thing that I just want to mention, because this might be happening to a number of other people in your generation. She has her Saturn sitting in Pisces. So one of the things that's also happening for her is she has Neptune, which moves around the chart in 164 years. So this is not something that every single one of us living on this planet will ever have happen. Neptune is quickly approaching. Well, it's not quickly. It never does anything quickly, but it is approaching, it is approaching her Saturn. And so also some of the things that you're saying, this spiritual planet of really being able to envision the spiritual side of the world, the non-physical side of the world, is approaching your Saturn. Saturn is work, but Saturn is also the rules that you live by. So as Neptune gets closer and closer and closer, you're doing what, I mean, when it's the opposite, when Saturn approaches somebody's Neptune, which happens every 30 years, I always say you're going through, you know, a spiritual audit. You're going through a dream audit. What does my life mean? Where are my dreams? How do I want this to manifest? But it kind of is the opposite way too. So when that Neptune is approaching somebody's Saturn, on one hand, you might feel like, oh my gosh, everything I used to believe is just going out the window. I mean, my whole life is turning upside down. Because Saturn likes things to be very black and white. But this Neptune is going, no, there's another way to see this. There's a whole nother world. There's a whole nother layer that you haven't even explored yet. So I think it's a very, very exciting time. But it can also be a little disorienting because, you know, like I said, Saturn likes to think, okay, it's black and white. Here are the rules. And what you're being confronted with at this point, and other people in your generation, people born in the 90s, you know, you're being confronted with this idea. Well, you know what? What if there's something else? What if there's something deeper? What if there's a spiritual rule or a law or a spiritual phenomena that is so much more, you know, that's stronger than the material one? You know,
absolutely.
I think that's what you guys are going through.
And it's like connecting to that primal side of yourself. Like lately I've been really looking at my life as an opportunity to have fun and to really create within, you know, and here's my cap, within, you know, limitations, obviously. But really just creating this life for myself that is fun and exciting, trying to incorporate all of the simple joys that I love, and just trying to figure out how I can really make a reasonable, realistic, exciting life for myself. Because sometimes dreaming really, really big is exhausting. And also I feel like the big is right here. Like this is all already so big, you know, to think beyond that primal, spiritual, rooted self is kind of just like an illusion, you know? That's how it feels to me, at least.
It is an illusion, but that's another show. But it is an illusion, and I realize we haven't answered any questions in the chat room, although I've been very happy with this conversation. But I think we probably have maybe like 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe we could answer some of the things in the chat room. So I would say if there's anything that just captures your eye or your heart, let's do that. But the other thing is we can also just do a general reading for the entire audience. If there's, once again, I think you gave some really good stuff about, you know, trying not to be so driven to, you know, allow to be able to receive a little bit more in our lives instead of always trying to be in the driver's seat. But either if you want to answer a specific question in the chat room or a more generalized reading, I think we have a few minutes to do
I think I'm going to do a generalized reading just because everyone kind of seems to be bringing up the same things, which is feeling kind of icky, wanting to move forward. I know someone in the chat is wanting to move different locations. Another one had a question about launching photography and writing. I love that question. I just want to say that right now, I think everything that CA has been talking about just rings so true. Right now, kind of, I think in my intuitive feeling, right now is a time to go slow and have faith and do not settle, do not make snap judgments, because I truly believe that in the weeks to come, these answers are going to be presented to you. This is a time where I feel like foraging and searching is kind of useless. I feel like you're just going to come up with dead ends and probably just be more confused. And I think it's a great time to kind of just sit, be where you are in the moment, as frustrating as it can be. Know that it's not you. It's not your life. You're not doomed to a specific way of living. But I think that in the weeks to come, there's going to be so much exciting stuff happening. It just feels like this huge momentum is building. And I feel like anyone in the chat with concerns, the person who wanted to move, I see you moving not far from where you are currently, but I do see you moving, just not maybe as far as you think. And then for the one with the photography and the writing business, that feels amazing to me. That feels great. I feel like something around summertime, maybe that's when it'll be done. I'm not sure. But that just feels like a total green light to me. And I just feel like everything feels so exciting. I know I keep repeating myself, but I really do believe that miracles are going to happen in the weeks to come. And so much exciting stuff by summertime. I just feel like so many people's prayers are going to be answered, and serendipitous moments, you know, coincidences like, oh, I really wanted that, and here it is. And I didn't even have to go searching for it. You know, like things just popping up on people's doorsteps, literally. It
yes.
just feels like such a great time right now to truly manifest and trust the universe. Do not put forth more work or energy. Store that up, save it, and then when the time comes, you will know when it is ready to make the leap or to accept the gifts the universe is giving you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sydney. And I would just add to that as a reminder, Mercury, the planet of thinking, is in Pisces. This is an incredibly intuitive psychic time, but it's not necessarily very rational. So if you're looking for answers for something, I would really just encourage you as many times as you can a day, just kind of check in and just go, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? Let your intuition come forward and don't try to force a rational, logical structure onto what's going on, because I don't think you're going to find it, not while Mercury is sitting in Pisces. And so this is an incredibly rich time to let messages just come forward. Just let them come forward. And, you know, I'd kind of go back to the fact, I feel like I dreamed about the devil card all last night because I have been struggling to, how can I word it? How can I word it? And what I realized is some of the things just needed to come up intuitively. They just needed to come through dreams in order for me to go, yeah, that's the idea. That's why I wasn't feeling comfortable with what I've got written on the page. I need to keep massaging this. So Sydney, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing yourself.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
Oh, good. I know we could have talked for a couple more hours. I feel like we need to get on the phone and talk about some other stuff. Your chart, like I said, the astrologer in me, talk about getting in the front seat. I can't help myself. But would you tell people when they can find you on When to Listen or anything special that you have coming up on When to Listen?
As of now, for special things coming up, I'm still kind of deciding you know, what I want to do, if I want to do scopes or a radio show. I don't want to push after everything we just talked about, just kind of sitting and feeling what's going to be right for me. That way I can really offer something special and authentic. But yeah, you can just go on over and find me at onetolisten.com. I'm a homebody, so I'm available, you know, a good amount of the time. And if I'm not, you can just schedule an appointment and I'm never far from home. I have Virgo rising, so, you know.
Okay. Well, Sydney, thanks a lot. And Sydney brought up a good point. If you want to talk to somebody on One to Listen and you don't see them as available, you can simply request a scheduled call. And if they're available, I mean, most of the time, I think they'll move heaven and earth, so to speak, to make sure that they'll be available for that scheduled call. So you might want to try that. Sydney, thank you so, so very much.
Thank you.
For your persistence in coming to One to Listen. You know, to know what was good for you and to keep pushing for it, and also for being on the show today.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! That's right. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again soon. And everybody, all the listeners and everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for participating. I'm sorry that we just don't have more time to just answer those questions. So, you know, anyway, I got some thoughts on that. But thank you very much for that. I hope, you know, that you got something wonderful out of today's show and that you're feeling encouraged and or feeling like we are really one big family. We're all in this together. So thanks for joining me today. Thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver. And I hope that you will stay tuned because there's more empowerment coming up next with Kelly Whetstone. And then Aubrey has her show on Tuesdays now, too, right after Kelly. So we've got a lot of great live programming here on 1-2 Radio. So keep it tuned. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Simple Tales with my guest, Sydney Sable, on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world.